Well, good morning, church. I'm Pastor Mike. We're glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 52, if you'll find your place in God's Word. These days, we are thinking about just what we saw with the potter's hands around that moldable, shapeable clay. The same thing is true in all of our lives who have come to know Jesus. The Lord is doing a work in our life. He is molding us and shaping us using the circumstances, the troubles of life, people that are sometimes hard and difficult. All of those things come together and God's hands are around us trying to do what we don't always want Him to do. We're not always cooperative with the Lord, but we're learning these days about what it means to be broken but blessed. Broken but blessed. So this morning we're going to learn from David and an experience he had with some people who hated him. He was hated by King Saul. And so here's David, who sought to do everything he could to be loyal, faithful, be a good general to the king, be a good son-in-law, be a good brother-in-law, but yet he was hated by King Saul. And at the end of this series of what we're looking at today in Psalm 52, here's what we'll discover. We'll discover again some words that describe what it means to be broken but blessed. When you're broken and blessed, it helps you to understand how to worship and to praise God and to honor God no matter what is going on in your life. So with that background, turn to your Bible, stand with me, and let's read Psalm 52 together. So we read in the introduction, this will give us the time when David wrote this psalm. Why did he write Psalm 52? Notice what the introduction says. For the choir director, a maskil of David, that is a contemplative psalm of David. This is a psalm we read to think about. To think about these things we'll be talking about today. When Doeg, the Edomite, came and told Saul, King Saul, and said to him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Ahimelech was the priest of God. Then we read David's words. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? And here's our focus for today. Here are the words of a broken but blessed man. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction. Like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit, you love evil more than good. Falsehood more than speaking what is right, Selah. Now we pause. We think about what David's just written. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, behold the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. So today, Heavenly Father, you have reminded us that we are in your hands. Lord, some of us are seeking to run from you and rebel against you and live in hardness of heart and be deceived by the things we have, that those things are enough to take care of us. And how we pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are living in hardness and that you might break them and soften them. We pray for the rest of us who have humbled ourselves and sought to follow you, that you'd forgive us of our sin, because we still have in us sinfulness and we do things that do not please you. We ask that you would teach us what it means to live a broken but blessed life. It's your intention, it's your desire, it's the way that you have planned it. So, Lord, help us not to fight you, but to surrender and submit to you, that we might truly experience what David says here, the loving kindness of God endures all day long. May that come to mean something to us as we hear your word today. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So this morning you have in Psalm 52 the picture of two men. You have David and Doeg. You have David and King Saul, who hated David and did everything he could to kill him and eliminate him as a rival in his life. So today we think about why does God, those of us who want to follow Jesus, we've committed to follow Jesus, we've trusted the Lord as our Savior, we're born again, we're seeking to do everything we can to please the Lord, why does God put hateful people in our life? Why does God bring into our life people that you can't shake? It seems like everywhere you go, there they are. You can't get away from them. And they just seem to irritate you and frustrate you. So today we see David talking about Doeg, who was a hater of David, who told King Saul, who was a hater of David, what he saw David doing with the priest of God. That'll be the story we unfold. So here's what we're doing on Sunday mornings. We're taking the stories, we're taking the Psalms from Psalm 51 through about Psalm 60, and we're going to discover in each of these Psalms different occasions in the life of David. They're not in the order that some of us would expect. They're out of order, we would think. They're not in chronological order. So last week we looked at Psalm 51, the famous Psalm of Confession. That psalm was written by David 20 years after he was king. But now we reverse and go in the other order. Now we go back to before David was king. And we're going to discover over the next few weeks as we read about David's life, how is it that a man after God's own heart is made a man after God's own heart? It's because of the way God takes and breaks him, remakes him, molds him and shapes him for his purposes and glory. That's what we're going to talk about, because that's what the Bible says he's doing in your life if you're born again. God is at work in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That's why those hateful people are in your life. So we learn a couple of things today. You saw it in Psalm 52, verse 1. Notice the contrast. The evil man boasts. The evil man boasts. But the broken man says this: the love of God endures all day long. You know, sometimes this happens in our life. You'll talk to your loved one, you'll go home, you talk to your spouse, or you talk to your kids or your family, your friends, you're talking to somebody, and you tell them, you say, you know, they say, well, how are you doing? How's your day been? And you make the comment, I've done the same thing. Today was a long day. And you know exactly what I mean when I say a long, maybe like a preacher, I'll do it, a long day. You got up in the morning and it was already long. By noon it was longer. By nighttime at dinner time it was longer. And then you still had the evening and nighttime. A long day is a hard day sometimes. A long day is a struggling day. A long day is a painful day. Here's my first point. God loved David enough that he allowed him to experience personal attack. Well, why would God do this? I mean, not many months before all of this experience we're going to talk about today, By the way, you need now to go in your Bible to 1 Samuel. Keep your finger in Psalm 52. Go to 1 Samuel. We're going to look at this story. We find David running. He's already running and hiding, running and hiding. And the Bible tells us that Saul was after him. King Saul was jealous of him. He didn't like that he'd gotten all the acclaim. He'd killed Goliath. He'd done some famous things. He'd been a loyal general to Saul. He played the harp and helped soothe King Saul. And yet Saul threw spears at him. Saul tried to mistreat him in all kinds of ways, broke promises with him. But God loved David enough to allow him to experience personal attack from someone that he thought would try to promote him. So he's been anointed with oil not long earlier from Samuel, told he's going to be the king. The Bible says immediately the Holy Spirit comes upon David. So he's a spirit-filled man now, doing what God's done, doing what God's called him to do, with the purposes of God being accomplished in his life. And now he's running for his life. Why would God do such a thing? I thought God promised that he was going to bless me. I thought God promised that he was going to take care of me. So we read these pitiful words. Then David fled from Naoth. He'd been to see the prophet. He ran to Samuel. Now he runs to his friend Jonathan, the son of King Saul. And look at his question. Look at these pathetic questions. They're the questions of an innocent man who has pain because he's being hated. He says, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before my father, that before your father, that he would seek my life? What have I done?" You and I have said the same thing. When we've experienced someone who hates us, what have I done? We did it. We were innocent. We weren't trying to do anything. Perhaps we were trying to help them. Perhaps we were trying to be loyal to them. What have I done? What is my sin? God loved David enough. God loved him. You see, the love of God's for all day. All day includes the day of personal attack. It comes at work. Sometimes it comes in families. Sometimes it comes in friendships. But it comes, the day of personal attack. What have I done? David cries out, "What have I done?" So he ran to Samuel. He runs to Jonathan. He comes in and he's going to see, we're going to see in just a moment, the priest, high priest at Nob. He runs other places. He runs to the cave at Adullam. A cave. He runs to a cave. Does anybody around here not appreciate caves as much as I do? I hate caves. They're damp, they stink, there's bats in there and other kind of varmints, and I'm not going in the cave. David had no choice. He had to go to the cave. He had to go to the cave. And so David is running. He goes to the Philistines. We'll see in just a moment. Of all places, he runs to the Philistines. He runs to the Philistines. He's running. He's under personal attack. He's lost his mind. He doesn't know what to do. He's scrambling. He's running and he's hiding. And the problem is, wherever he goes, people already know he's there. God loved David when he was under bitter, brutal attack. And what we discover from these Psalms, this went on for 5 years before David was ever the king. 5 years of running and hiding. 5 years of hating. People hating. People selling him out. People lying. And David says to his friend, Jonathan, "What have I done? What have I done?" Look in 1 Samuel chapter 22 for just a moment, if you have your Bible there. 1 Samuel 22. He goes now and he departs. He comes, 21. He comes to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And he comes trembling. When he comes there, you'll notice the second principle that I want you to see today. Number two is this. God loved David when he suffered personal loss. God loved David when he suffered personal loss. So in 21, David comes to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. The priest sees David coming, but David's all by himself. And notice the question of the priest. This is the condition you're in when everybody is against you, when you feel alone. Notice he says, why are you alone, David? Why, this is the king's right-hand man. This is his top general. This is his top soldier. Why are you here alone? The priest doesn't really know why. He also knows this is the mighty man David who killed Goliath, the giant. This is the giant killer. And then we read these pitiful words. David, first of all, lies and says, well, I'm on a mission for the king. He feels the pressure and the pain of the time of being hunted down like a dog, hunted down like some animal. And he lies to the priest, says, well, I'm on a mission for the king. And then we read these pitiful words. Look what David asks for. David says, now, therefore, what do you have on hand? Give me something. Basically, he says this, give me something to eat. David's hungry. David's alone. David's questioning why he's being hated and attacked like he is. He seems like he's done everything for this person, King Saul, that he could do. He's hungry. He's alone. He asks for bread. The priest gives him the consecrated bread of presence that was there, because in Nob, the tabernacle of God was there at this time. Then he goes on and asks another question, verse 8. He not only was hungry, but he was unarmed. He said, do you have a spear or a sword on hand? And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. And David says to him, good, there's none like that sword. Give it to me. So here we see this picture, the attack, the personal loss. David lost everything, folks. He lost his self-reputation. He lost his position as King Saul's number two. He lost his wife. He lost his friend, Jonathan. He lost it all. As a man of God, as a man anointed by God, who's been told of the very purposes God has for his life, and then he finds out Saul wants to kill him, and he's on the run. He's on the run. Well, he runs to the cave. Then he runs, and this is in chapter 2, he runs to Moab. He runs to Moab. But before we go there, I've got to tell you something. Here's the kind of stuff that happens in caves. Misery loves company. David's already in enough pain, but we read in 1 Samuel 22, he escapes to the cave of Adullam, and when his brothers and all his fathers heard about it, they came down, and here we love this. Don't you love this? Everyone in distress, everyone in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to David, and he became the leader of a bunch of miserable people. What else can God do to David? You ever been around miserable, discontented, mouthy, crying, whiny people? Have you ever been around them? Oh, you may have come to church with them this morning. Just seeing if you're listening. The cave was not enough. David had to get out of the cave, so he took his mother and dad, took them down to Moab, chapter 22, verse 3. He leaves them there, and he's there in the stronghold of Moab. David's trying to find a place to hide because he knows he's under attack. And he's lost everything. He doesn't even have anything to eat. He's got a sword. Dragging around the sword of Goliath with a little bit of food, some bread, and a bunch of whining, crying people. He leaves his parents in Moab, and the priest and the prophet of God tells him in verse 5 of 22 of 1 Samuel, do not stay in the stronghold. See, he found a fort. I'm going to stay in the fort. And the prophet of God said, do not stay in the stronghold. Isn't this just the way God speaks to us? Depart and go to the land of Judah. And here we have it now. I'm about to get to it. So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. You know, some of you today are in the forest of Hereth. You're not in a cave. You're in the forest of Hereth. You're out in that forest trying to hide. Who are you hiding from? Why are you hiding? What are you afraid of? And in the forest of Herith, God meets David. It's unwritten. We don't have it. All we have is this blessed, wonderful, wonderful picture. It is this picture of David in 1 Samuel 22:5, hiding in the forest at Herith, and then we turn to these amazing words that God spoke to him in Psalm 52. After Doeg, who hated him, told on him to Saul and killed the priests of God and destroyed the city of Nob, after all the brutality and hatred that Doeg spread on the priests of God and the families of the priests, killing all the animals, slaughtering everything in a great massacre, David now is in a forest. Have you ever been in a forest by yourself? A forest. Not much sunlight. All alone. The wind blowing through the leaves. The sounds of the forest. And David in the forest understands, because now he writes it in Psalm 52, what it means to be broken but blessed. Did you see it before? Let's go back there. It's my third point today. It's this. David learned to live in the love of God. He learned to live in the love of God. You know, I've read Psalm 52 a lot in my life. I've read Psalm 52 with a lot of people. And often the question is asked, why in the world would David say, I am like a green olive tree? What kind of words are those? Has he really gone crazy now? He thinks he's a tree? No. There's something about this, though, that we must learn. In the forest of Herith, in the forest of Herith, lots of trees in a forest, lots of trees. Not too many people. His parents are in Moab. He's left all those malcontents. He's gotten away from them. Now this man who was under personal attack by the haters, this man who had lost everything, but he was God's man, which seems to be ridiculous. How can I be God's man and be losing everything? Ah, something happened to David. He learned to live in the love of God. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Now let's do a little horticulture together, shall we? Olive trees. When David wrote these words to anyone living in the Middle Eastern part of the world, they had no problem with an olive tree. They get it immediately. You see, an olive tree, ladies and gentlemen, can grow anywhere. They grow in the rocks. They grow out of the side of the hill. They grow in the fertile ground. They grow. He says, I am like a green olive tree. The actual Hebrew phrase is, I am flourishing like a olive tree. You see, they just spread out their roots. They go down. Now David, sitting out amidst the trees with their deep roots in the middle of the forest, where he could really think for a while, be separated from the haters and all the rest, God speaks to him out of love, because the loving kindness of God is for all day. That was verse 1. Now we find him in verse 8. But as for me, I'm not going to be like these wicked ones. I'm not going to use my words to destroy other people and hate people with my words. I'm not going to depend on my possessions to give me assurance. I'm not going to be one who depends on my evil desires. I'm going to be like a tree, a flourishing olive tree in the house of God. I'm protected by God. I'm in the house of God, protected by God, in a place that the hater can't find me or destroy me, and I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow whatever kind of soil I find myself in. This is the words of a blessed and broken person. People will say to me, Pastor Mike, I could grow as a Christian a lot better if I didn't have, and then they tell you their pain. No. No. God loves you enough to put those irritating haters in your life. He's molding you. I don't like these people, Pastor Mike. He's molding you. Lord, take these people away, and lo and behold, they're like gum on your shoe. You cannot get away from them. You go to the store and they're there. You go to the movie and they turn the lights on, the lights are up, there they are. They Facebook you. They call you. They say things about you. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. You listen, did you know that olive trees, they give their best oil, their best fruits, after 7 to 10 years of growth? The best stuff doesn't come till the tree is mature. And some of these trees live 100 or more years. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. You know what the broken but blessed person learns? Psalm 51, we learned it last week. You know what a broken but blessed person says? They discover something when they confess their sin. That they are, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, and God doesn't despise it. You know what we now learn in Psalm 52? The love of God lasts all day. Whatever conditions you're in, whatever kind of people are in your life, whatever kind of circumstances you are facing, don't run. Be a tree and plant yourself in the presence of God. Notice what he says. Verse 8, I am like a green tree in the house of God. I trust, by the way, it's present tense, in my current trouble, in the difficulties I'm having, whatever's going on in my life, in my current situation, I trust. He had a bad situation. King was trying to kill him, and the king had the power to do it, and he had people looking for him everywhere. I trust in what? The love of God. You know what David was saying in essence, folks? Listen, this is really important. You know, we learn in the New Testament that everyone God loves, he disciplines like a father. You know what David's saying here? God loves me enough that he sent King Saul and Doeg and others like them to hate me to the point of trying to kill me. That's how much God loved me. And you say, Pastor Mike, I don't like the situation I'm in. But do you understand, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the hands of God. He shapes you. He breaks that off. He molds you. He pulls you down. He puts you back together. He shapes you and makes you. You see the love of God. The love of God is with you in personal attack. The love of God is with you in personal loss. And David learned, I'm a tree. I am planting myself in the presence of God because God loves me no matter what is happening in my life. And then he goes on. It gets even better. He says, I trust in the love of God. Verse 9, I will give thanks forever because you have done it. You've done what? God will judge those who are wicked. And I will wait on your name, for it is good. Everything God does in my life is good. Everything. So I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I'll share this with you. So I love this illustration. It's the story of the man who was walking out in the field. And there was a shepherd out there in the field. And it was over in England. And it was a very, you know, one of those cloudy, misty kinds of mornings in the rolling hills over there in rural England. And the traveler, he was out traveling, and he saw the shepherd, and he said to the shepherd, well, he said, I wonder what kind of weather we're going to have today, which is normal. You know, we don't know people well, we start with the weather. And he said, the shepherd said, well, we're going to have whatever kind of weather pleases me. You know, and the guy thought, what in the world are you talking about? Whatever kind of weather pleases you, what do you mean by that? And the shepherd said, listen, the shepherd said, if it pleases the Lord for it to rain today, I will be pleased. If it pleases the Lord for the sun to shine, I will be pleased. So let me put up one more thing here. The blessings of brokenness. What are the words? What do broken, blessed people say? Here's what we say. No matter what happens in our life, we know that God loves us. Are you listening? He's allowing those people and those things to come in your life because of what He's seeking to do to make you more like Jesus. Don't run from it. Don't run from it. Don't hide. Remember this today. Listen. Once I've been through Psalm 51 and I understand the brokenness of confessing sin and that the way I come to God is in brokenness and humility, then I learn in Psalm 52 the love of God that is with me all day. Turn and tell your neighbor, the love of God is for all day. Some of you needed to hear that today. There you go. Keep it up, kids. All. When you get in the car going home, really annoy your parents. Pastor Mike said the love of God is for all day. But look, I love God all day because I'm growing in God's presence. Listen, God hasn't abandoned you. God was right there with David in that nasty cave with all those whining and crying and bellyaching people. God was with him there among the Philistines. Of all places, David runs to the Philistines and he goes in front of them, and the people and the leadership said to the king, David is here. And David started acting like a crazy guy, acting like he was all crazy, banging his head against the wall, foaming at the mouth. And the king said, get him out of here. I got enough crazy people around here anyway. He ran to Jonathan. He ran to the prophet. God was with him wherever he went. He was still God's man. I'm growing like a tree in the presence of God. You can't kill me. I belong to God. Are you listening this morning? I trust in God's love. I thank God for His promises. And I wait for God's goodness. And His goodness is all the time. So I wait now all day long. And then I may wait tomorrow all day long. But today we learn. The broken but blessed person says this. The loving kindness of God is for all day. And I'm going to be like a tree. Here's the guy who's running saying this. The man who's trying to get away from everybody. Who's trying to hide. He says, you know what? In his brokenness, he finally figured it out. I must be like a tree. My roots have to go down. I've got to rely upon God and His presence and allow the fruit of my life to come. I hope you will remember this week. Live in God's presence like a flourishing olive tree. Remember, God loves you enough to break you.